Welcome to Cookbook Club. We are home cooks from Portland, Oregon.
I'm Sarah Gray.
And I'm Renee Wilkinson. Thanks for joining us.
Every other episode of Cookbook Club will be focused not on a cookbook, but a cooking topic. This week, we're talking about cooking for our kids and some things they love to eat.
Which is such a joy. My favorite part of parenting.
Yes, feeding your kids.
You had them. You're in charge of keeping them alive. And maybe the most like heavy lift component of that is what you're going to feed them.
Because
it happens at least 3 times a day, more like 7 times a day, every day for the rest of your life.
Are your kids picky, Renee?
Yes. Before you have kids, you start out with this notion of like, what kind of parent you're going to be, what kind of kids you're going to have. And, you know, I'm all into like gardening.
As if you have any control over
it. Like I eat seasonally and blah, 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 love organic produce, yada, yada, spicy food, all that. And then you have kids and it turns out that they're human beings that are completely unique with their own flavors that they like that are not always compatible with the ones that you like.
So true.
And enter compromise.
Absolutely.
So, yes, my kids are picky. I have 3 of them. Each child likes something different.
I have 2 and same.
Yeah. I don't put something on the table and it's like great, 100% buy-in.
Yeah.
So that has shaped significantly the way that I cook. I'm also not a parent who wants to make 5 different meals for the 5 people in my family.
That's too hard.
But I know friends of mine
people
who do it.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to figure out what works well for your family. And for my family, we eat a lot of deconstructed meals.
I think the deconstructed meal is one of the geniuses of my parenting days so far. Just figuring out that you can piece out everything into pieces and it goes down a lot better.
Yes.
Then they can avoid one component without saying, ew, I don't like that one thing.
Part of my like keeping my own identity and my own flavor profile and whatever leads to the deconstructed meal because you can add on the parts that are exciting to you. You don't have to eat a 3-year-old's version of dinner every night.
Right.
Are your kids picky, Sarah?
Yeah, I think I would describe them as picky. I try not to use the word picky in my house because I'm afraid they're going to ingest it and make it part of their truth. But they're kids. I feel like before I became a parent, I thought picky eating was one thing. And I think I've sort of expanded my definition of it. Mm-hmm. I sort of thought of picky eaters as being kids who would only eat one thing or which is a kind of picky eating. But my kids are kind of a different kind of picky where they're just sort of particular. And they also have a lot of, I mean, this is a good thing. They generally eat when they're hungry and they don't when they're not. But I always take it sort of personally. I always have to remind myself, like, maybe they're not hungry right now. One of the issues we have in our house is dinner time is a really hard time to get food in my kids because by the end of the day, they've just sort of lost their ability to regulate themselves. And so one strategy we found is to just sort of front load the calories earlier in the day and then take it or leave it when dinner comes around, which is, you know, easy to say now, but it's hard for us to keep our chill sometimes when we've made a lovely dinner and they don't want to partake in it.
Does that mean that by front loading the meal, are you feeding them like a well-rounded full breakfast?
Yeah, I mean, we feed them, I would say, more calories generally at breakfast and lunch.
Okay.
And we try to get in some like good quality snacks throughout the day. My kids eat a lot of fruit in between meals. So yeah, I mean, I think we try to get in more like just sort of calorie and nutrient dense things earlier in the day because it's a real crapshoot when it comes to dinner.
We don't do that. Like we still dinner is our big meal of the day. Breakfast is really simple because we have 3 kids. They go to different schools. They have different start times.
There's not a lot of time in your morning.
I work. My partner works. It's a marathon every morning.
Absolutely.
Between 7 and 7:45.
Yeah. My breakfasts are not elaborate.
What do you do for breakfast then?
We eat a lot of yogurt, like Greek yogurt, like trying to get, you know, sort of more dense calories in there. A favorite in our house is a bowl of yogurt with like some frozen blueberries and honey on top. My kids love that. A favorite is a Dutch baby, which is very eggy. So I feel like it's like more calories. And sometimes we also make pancakes and waffles and stuff like that.
We will do fancy stuff on the weekend. And by fancy, I mean actually preparing food other than just like, you know, cereal, cinnamon toast, or an egg.
Right.
Those are your choices.
Right.
Or yogurt. But we don't try to do it on a weekday. So we've kind of kept our own like as adult way of eating. We just have made it a little bit more accessible for the kids to make their own choices about things. We have also taken certain words out of the vocabulary at the dinner table. Like, they're not allowed to say that something is gross or yucky, because I find that really offensive when I've, like, spent so much time.
It really hurts my feelings.
Yeah. And I care really deeply about the food that my kids consume, because I think that food is really, really important. And it makes me really mad. So they're not allowed to say that. So instead, they say, it's not my favorite. Or we have a way of them rating their meal, which is like thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, and thumbs down, okay. Which is really helpful, because then there's, you know, I want to make things that they like.
Right.
But I'm not going to make pancakes for dinner every night for the rest of my life,
right,
either. So there has to be some compromise.
Yeah. One thing that's been really helpful for me is something I discovered shortly before I became a parent. Someone named Ellen Satter. She's a dietitian and she's written some great books. She has a whole theory called the division of responsibility, which I think is awesome and all parents should consider it. The division of responsibility goes like this. As a parent, it's your job to choose when we eat and what we eat. And I think maybe also where we eat. And the kids get to decide whether to eat and how much. You know, I mean, obviously I want my kids to have a good relationship with food, and that's something that Ellen Satter is big on. And I thought that's kind of brilliant. And it just takes the responsibility off of me, you know, and puts the onus on them for figuring out how hungry they are, you know, whether they like things also plays into it. But, you know, I find that they're much more open-minded when they're really hungry.
My sensitive area around family eating is with waste, because I know how much effort it takes to make the food, you know, make the ingredients that
sure.
go into the meal. And also my background and the way that I grew up, we did not have the cushion to waste things.
Right.
And so that is my, like, trigger thing that I get upset about. I think that their bodies are going to be able to determine, like, how much of the different things that they want to eat. It's more that I don't want them taking something and putting it on their plate and then throwing it out because they didn't eat any of it. Because
right.
that, to me, is, like, a sin to be that wasteful.
Right.
So that's a rule for us, is put it on your plate if you're going to eat it.
Right.
It's okay if it doesn't work out and you don't have like a 100% clean plate.
Right.
But
sure.
It needs to be significantly
yeah.
eaten.
Is there anything that's a total slam dunk in your house when you serve it?
Yeah. And I have built our meal plan around that.
Okay.
So a few of us from Cookbook Club listen to a podcast called The Lazy Genius. She's wonderful. And a few gems that I've picked up from The Lazy Genius are creating a meal matrix, it's called, which is basically a meal plan. So depending on the season of the year, we rotate between an A week and a B week. And the meals on there are like frameworks rather than a specific recipe. And those meals are things that I know my kids will like. So we have a pasta night. We have a taco night. We have a rice bowl night. We have a breakfast for dinner night. So those could be a few different things, but I know that my kids will have buy-in. I don't want to serve something that I know is totally going to be a disaster, you know? That's
totally.
Not fun for anybody. So there's a little bit of compromise that happens there. And then we serve the things that are like spicy on the side, or the certain ingredients that I'm not sure they're going to be into on the side, so that my partner and I can have a more varied meal than the kids, but we're all mostly eating the same thing. So slam dunks are breakfast for dinner. That was mm-hmm. their number one choice.
That's a slam dunk in my house too.
Yeah. We also have a family meeting to talk about the meal
Whoa,
plan.
That's smart.
Yeah, because I want them to feel like they have some skin in the game. Like, you agreed to this.
We are not that organized. Although I do every week when I'm making a loose meal plan, I say, does anybody have any requests for next week? About as close as we get to a family meeting.
I am not super organized, for the record, because I only do it once when I do the meal plan.
Sure.
And I've done one meal plan for the cool season and one meal plan for the warm season. And that's just how I
It's pretty brilliant, though.
Organize it. It's a lazy genius thing, is decide once. They voted on which meals they wanted on the meal matrix. And then I made suggestions and we all came up with a compromise of, okay, we're going to have breakfast for dinner once a week. We're also going to have like rice bowl night, which you guys are not enthusiastic about. And yet you'll eat it every time we make it. So,
right.
so that's
customizable to their own tastes.
Yeah. And we have complex dietary restrictions in our family.
Right.
Really complex. One of our kids has PKU, which is a really rare metabolic disorder where he has to be very careful about the amount of protein that he consumes. So that also plays into how we structure the deconstructed meals. We call them like DIY meals in our house more than deconstructed, but you grown-ups listening know what I mean when I say deconstructed. But DIY is like rice bowl night. We're going to have all the components and then you build your own rice bowl. So you pick out the things that you want on there. You know, for the child that doesn't eat protein, like he has veggie meatballs. For the kids that need protein, they have meatballs with meat in them. Jane, I really want pickled things on our rice bowls. The kids don't. Right. They don't have to put that on there. Like, we like different sauces. My eldest child, who's 9, like, really likes that sweet Thai sauce that you can get at, like, grocery stores and Trader Joe's and stuff. So she'll use that as her sauce on her rice bowl, and then she'll eat, like, the whole thing. Sure, that's a win.
That's a victory.
Yeah, and other people want soy sauce, or they want whatever little dressing thing. So we make sure the fridge is stocked with stuff like that, and then it keeps the that DIY method of doing the meals keeps it very flexible for the season, too. So rice bowl night, we'll just use whatever produce we have in season. Like, it might be carrots, kale, whatever, cucumbers, whatever we happen to have available.
That's really smart.
What are some of the things that are hits at your house?
One thing that my kids love is if I make a snack plate, which I don't do for dinner very often, but I will make it for lunch. So generally, there's some kind of dip. There's a dip that I really like that's an old, like, Bon Appetit recipe. And it's basically like a Romesco sauce. It's lower in oil. So it's a red pepper and almond dip. It's really yummy. There's one that's like an eggplant dip in Small Victories by Julia Tertian. Also, you could just buy a thing of hummus at the store. and then I will generally do cheese and crackers, like raw veggies to dip in whatever dip there is. I'll put fruit on there. Sometimes if I have like some pepperoni or like something fun, I'll do that. And so I'll just make like kind of a little spread and put some nuts on there. Like, they love that. So snack plate is always a win with my kids. It's not always a win with my partner. So we usually do that for lunch and like let him make himself a sandwich or something. Mm-hmm. Spaghetti and meatballs is a always winner in my house these days, which is great.
That's funny because my kids love spaghetti and meatballs, but they all, you would not even realize that there's so many combinations of ways that you can have spaghetti and meatballs, because in our house, there's like 5 different ways that we have it.
Okay.
We prepare all the same things. Like, we all share the same noodles.
Right.
We all have, there's a red sauce available, but the noodles are tossed with like butter for some people.
Okay.
With no sauce and meatballs.
Okay.
And then for another person, they're tossed with red sauce with no meatballs, but veggie meatballs. It's like,
it's,
you know,
the DIY approach all over again.
Yeah. But you can get 5 meals out of the same thing.
Making where you're noodles and red sauce and meatballs.
My kids in general will like pasta, but they just have real strong opinions about red
about
sauce.
The sauce.
They're either pro or anti red sauce.
Okay. Both my kids are on board, but I have one kid down from where you are. So I feel like that really ratchets up the different combinations, right?
Yes.
Just having 5 of you versus 4 of us. My kids also really like tempeh, which I laughed as I put it on this list to discuss, because I feel like a lot of kids don't love tempeh, but my kids love it. I just like marinate it in a little bit of like some kind of a soy saucy, salty marinade and just roast it up. They love it.
Did you feed that to them like from the beginning?
Not necessarily. There's this restaurant in Portland, Laughing Planet, which is like very kid friendly, and they have tempeh on a lot of things. And so my kids just discovered tempeh that way. My partner's like really big on fermented foods. And so tempeh's always been something that has been on our radar.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just always really enjoyed it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I would just not tell my kids what tempeh is.
Yeah.
I have one child who can't have any meat.
Right.
And I have another child who only wants to eat meat.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. And then I have, you know, a third child who's just kind of like cool with all of it.
Right. I do have one kid who's a little bit squeamish about meat.
Okay.
Like last night we had salmon. Mm-hmm. And one kid gobbled it up, and the other kid, I don't think he dislikes it, but he dislikes, you know, when you cook salmon, sometimes you get those little white deposits of fat on the outside because it's such a fatty fish, and the white fat totally grosses him out.
Oh, interesting.
So he won't touch it. And I'm like, that's the part that's good for you.
I know. That's the part that we all want.
The part you need. So go figure. I mean, because it's not always about the flavor, right? Sometimes it's about the texture. Sometimes it's about where they think it's come from, or... You know, I mean, why do any of us have food aversions, right?
And your taste profile changes over time.
Of course.
So I think that's gives me some sanity to remember that.
Right.
And also to take, I don't know if other parents feel like this, but I started out feeling like a lot of pressure about food and my kids and wanting to make sure that they were exposed to all these things as early as possible.
Absolutely.
You know, trying to like mix kale with applesauce and a food processor to feed them when they're a baby, because God knows if they don't have it by the time they're 18 months, they're going to reject it forever. So I have let go of a lot of that. My eldest kid is 9 and my youngest is 3. And I just don't care anymore. I did not grow up in like the early 80s eating kale. Like, that wasn't something right. that people were eating a lot of. And now I love it. So
I feel like I didn't have it till I was a teenager.
Yeah. Current Renee has let go of a lot of the stuff that early Renee was really, really stressed out and wound up about.
We'll be back in a minute after this quick break. Dropcloth Samplers is a line of hand-drawn embroidery samplers, printed and ready for you to jump in and start stitching right away. Each pattern is hand-drawn by Rebecca Ringquist in her Portland, Oregon studio and printed for you to embroider with your own color and thread choices, like coloring book pages, but for embroidery. You can find Dropcloth Samplers on Etsy or on Instagram at Dropcloth.
Another genius meal that someone from Cookbook Club, Rebecca, came up with was smoothies and popcorn, which blew my mind.
It's kind of a game changer, right?
Yeah.
It's like an easy, because you can get some veggies and some fiber into that smoothie. Popcorn's a whole grain food.
It sounds like a junk food meal. Like right. you're feeding them like movie theater popcorn and like right. a milkshake.
And milkshakes.
Which they think they're getting, but really it's not.
Right.
Because you're the one making the popcorn. So like it's just what, a couple tablespoons of oil
right.
and some salt, and I put nutritional yeast on
yeah.
it. That's really not that bad for you.
And you can make a delicious smoothie that's got lots of veggies in it.
Yeah. And we have protein powder that we keep on hand, which is awesome because then we can pump out smoothies for everybody in the family and make sure that they all get the amount of nutrition they're supposed to get in it. I have found that my kids need to feel like they have control over a situation.
I think that's a big part of the eating thing.
I can say that's a big deal for me, too, to feel like I have control
Fair
over
enough,
things
too.
In my life. So they get to choose what they want in their smoothie. So if they want like blueberries or strawberries, or they want like a nut butter one, someone from Cookbook Club said that they put a little cocoa powder in their nut butter and banana smoothie sometimes.
Ooh, yummy.
Seems
it's a chocolate
like,
milkshake.
Yeah, it seems really indulgent, but it's actually not that unhealthy.
That's brilliant.
That's kind of one of our emergency meals. I think it's really important when you have kids to have this like notion of emergency meals in your head. We've been through the emergency room and the urgent care many times. Mostly our kids have gotten hurt doing the most like mundane stuff at home.
Always.
They never get hurt like jumping off of the nature playground boulders or, you know, on a hike or camping or whatever. They get hurt when they're at home, like, you know, standing on the edge of the couch and they fell off and my son River broke his collarbone.
Oh, no.
You don't know when it's going to happen, but it is going to happen. So we always have emergency meals in our freezer or in our heads, like smoothies and popcorn. We know that we can whip that meal out in 15 minutes.
And even though it's a chaotic day, everybody at least goes to bed with a full tummy.
I feel like you have a lot of good meals that you tuck in the freezer that I would consider emergency meals.
Yeah, I do tuck a lot of things in the freezer. I almost always have some meatballs in the freezer. And whenever I make lasagna, I like to make two of them. A 9x13 lasagna pan is too much food for my family of four. And so I make them in two small, like a 9x13 recipe, and do it in two smaller aluminum pans.
That is so smart.
Tuck one in the freezer. It does really help if you can thaw it before you cook it, but it's a nice thing to just have tucked away.
I use my Instant Pot a lot for like quick last minute meals.
That's really smart.
Them like the Lamb Rogan Josh from the Indian Instant Pot cookbook by Urvashi Pitri is one of those recipes that I have made a lot of times on a weeknight when I'm like, oh, shoot, we haven't gone grocery shopping.
Right.
I don't know what we're having for dinner. And I can get dinner on the table pretty quickly with that because the Instant Pot just cuts down on the cooking time so quickly.
And it's so hands-off,
yes.
Which is what I love about it. What about lunch?
Oh, lunch. Man.
You're sort of my school lunch hero.
In Cookbook Club, I have kids. I have the most kids and the oldest kids.
Yeah.
It feels weird to be the person in the group that has been a parent the longest. So I have many years of experience now with school lunches. And I've been through many, like, seasons of inspiration with it. And I find that what works best for us is having a version of like a meal matrix, except for school lunches. So they're in school 5 days a week. Again, getting my kids to buy in on like what those five meals are going to be. Is it going to be the same thing every day? Which for my two boys, they really like having sandwiches every day for lunch. And so it's the same formula for them. Like they have the same exact sandwich every day. They have a rotating type of chip, a rotating type of fruit, and a rotating type of veggie like snap peas or carrot sticks or whatever, or jicama. So that is a system that works well for them. The main is always the same, and they kind of have categories of little sides. For my daughter, she really does not like sandwiches. So we rotate between five different things for her school lunches. One day it's a wrap, which could be like a salad wrap. It could be in like a flavored tortilla or a plain tortilla or whatever. It's like fairly versatile. One day it's a picnic lunch, which is basically your version of a snack
my
plate.
My snack plate, yeah.
Yeah, like my picnic lunch. So that might be like cut up salami, cut up cheeses, crackers, again, with the fruit and the crunchy veggie. It's kind of like those Lunchables that, you know, probably still make them, but I am not wild about the food quality.
Right.
So it's like our own version of a Lunchable, and it's also less like waste because you're not, you know, throwing out this package every single day.
And then don't you have a really great little lunch boxes that you make this work in? So you kind of have a format always to stick to.
I will say there are better lunch boxes out there, like bento boxes or whatever, that have little compartments. Those are totally awesome.
We have some of those. We have ours are the lunch bots. They're stainless steel. We have a couple different configurations, but I love the format because it's like pick something this size, pick something this size, pick something this size.
Yeah, it's taken a lot of trial and error to find like the right sized one. So I think the one that you have, which we should totally link to in the show notes, is the one that you should aspire to have.
It's been pretty great.
Little compartments, nothing's touching each other. Yeah. And then again, the kids have choice. They can decide how much of those different compartments they want to eat.
Yeah.
Does yours have a dip thing? A dip container?
Okay. So there's a little dip container that has a lid that like seals securely.
We only have one of three kids who likes dips.
Okay.
Which is also weird. Wouldn't you think that every kid likes
dips?
Yeah,
I would think dips kids friendly, but.
Ranch? Like my kids are sure that there's something they should not eat in there. They will not touch it. They won't even try
it. That's funny.
And I've also found not to force them to try anything because it just is a losing situation.
They can sense that you want it
too
much.
Right. Okay. So wraps, picnic lunch, sandwich, burrito. So she gets a bean and cheese burrito once a week. And then either a quesadilla or like a grilled cheese sandwich.
The thing that blew my mind about your burrito thing is that it's just room temperature.
Yeah.
And she doesn't care.
No, she doesn't care.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, burrito, how would they do that? And you were like, just pack it at room temperature. It blew my mind.
Yeah. I mean, people have little cooler bags that you can take your lunch in. I think maybe this will be the year that we finally buy those. You know, it's just like
more stuff. Absolutely.
So that's how we deal with lunches. And then we have a real division of labor in my household between me and my partner. And that's like a whole other podcast for a whole other podcast maker about division of labor in a household. But I think having that really ironed out of who's in charge of breakfast, lunch, dinner, on which days, having that really clearly communicated is like what keeps the machine really well oiled, because it can be a lot to take all of that on yourself and always be in charge of that. So we divide that up. My partner does all of the breakfasts. I do the lunch packing, and we all manage to somehow still get everywhere on time-ish every day.
That's great.
So that works for us.
What kid-friendly cookbooks or authors have you drawn from?
You know, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, Six Seasons, Indian Instant Pot, all these wonderful cookbooks that we cook from are ones that I think you can make kid-friendly meals from. I also have other cookbooks that I really go to a lot that are not ones that we have done for Cookbook Club. Molly Gilbert is the author of Sheet Pan Suppers, and she also came out with another cookbook a couple years ago called One Pan and Done. Both of those are like really approachable cookbooks, great for somebody who's a beginner cook. The recipes are really simple. The Sheet Pan Suppers is one that I've cooked from a bazillion times.
And I have that one after you recommended it, and it's so simple.
Some of my favorite recipes from One Pan and Done, she has an artichoke shakshuka, which is wonderful.
Ooh.
We cook that all the time because we have chickens, so we always have a bazillion eggs. It's very pantry friendly. That is a recipe that comes together super fast. She also has a sweet potato and sausage breakfast hash that was kind of mind-blowing a little bit for me to realize that you could make something that's like breakfast for dinner, but on a sheet pan.
Right.
She also has a recipe in One Pan and Done that I make a lot that's called Easy Jerk Chicken with Peppers and Pineapple.
Yum.
We'll often use that with like a rice bowl night. It's also a sheet pan dinner. You know, pineapple is like sweet and delicious. And so the kids are totally into that. And I'll nestle whole mushrooms in with the chicken. So the mushrooms get the flavors
for my child
who can't have protein, but then he can eat the mushroom instead of the chicken. So
that's really smart.
Are there certain cookbooks that you find are very kid friendly?
I would say I do pull from the Julia Tertian tome a lot when looking for a simple recipe that's going to go down great with my kids. You know, the turkey and ricotta meatballs with that really easy sauce that she makes is often how I make spaghetti and meatballs for my kids. One that comes to mind is in her newest book, Simply Julia. She's got that rice bowl. It's like a rice bowl where you do like sesame seeds in the rice, and then you do quick pickled veggies. It's like cucumbers and carrots, and you make a peanut sauce. It calls for like a tofu crumble kind of thing, but I've done all kinds of different protein on it. So I've done tofu and I've done tempeh on that. My kids love that with tempeh on it. You could also just do some leftover rotisserie chicken or whatever. It's a really flexible recipe, and they love that peanut sauce. Mm-hmm. I know there's that one in that book, Sticky Chicken, which I think you made. It was like maybe not amazing, but like the kids kind of liked it because it's sweet. There's a fish recipe in Small Victories that's the same way, where it's like kind of a sweet, sticky sauce on salmon. And I feel like there's some things in there that you could sort of pick and choose from.
The thing that I love about the Julia Tertian turkey ricotta meatball recipe is that it makes a double batch.
Yeah.
And it's just built into the recipe.
Those
that
are the
way.
Ones that I keep in the freezer all the time.
Yeah. So that's super kid friendly. I mean, it's just super family friendly.
Absolutely. Somebody from our cookbook club was doing a thing where they would just put fresh veggies out before dinner. And
that's
like they
idea.
Would just be there on the counter. And so if the kids came by looking for a snack, which my kids always do this about 4 p.m., the I'm hungry thing starts. And if there's just a bowl of fresh veggies sitting there, they're likely to grab some. And then by the time you sit down, it's like if they don't get that much in, it's like they've already come by and kind of filled themselves up.
I think each of my kids has their own times that they get hungry, which is probably age related too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, the 9-year old's on a different schedule than the 3-year old, but they do all get hungry at 4, and that can be a meal killer.
Totally.
If you're not prepared for it. After 4 o'clock on, they can only have fruit. They can't have other snacks that are more filling.
Because, it'll just wreck your dinner.
The 3-year old, for example, we joke that dinner time is more of like a ritual of him sitting down than it is actually eating.
Okay.
He will eat everything earlier in the day, but by dinner time, he only wants to eat meat and like nothing else. So that's fine. And then we know that after dinner, around like right before bedtime, he's going to have a second wave of being hungry.
Right.
And so we have go-to in the fridge that we can grab for him. Like the fresh veggies is when he would have that, is probably before bed.
Yeah. They're their own people, right? Well, I feel like we could talk about this for hours, but, you know, it's a rich topic.
It is. And there are a lot of podcasts out there. There's one called Didn't I Just Feed You? That's
right.
A really excellent podcast where I've gotten a lot of tips on how to make cooking more accessible for family life. And The Lazy Genius, which is another great podcast that also is about kind of life in general and making that more compatible to either people who have families or people who just feel like they want to be more time efficient. Just because you value food and good cooking and good recipes, there is a way to make that more integrated into family life in a way that's not going to make you pull all of your hair out.
That's a really great point of encouragement.
Yeah. It's just about compromise. Like, you're not going to be able to make a gourmet meal every night. Or if you are, good for you.
They may not eat it.
Keep the pieces separate. So at least your kids still feel like they have control over stuff, but you still get to eat a delicious meal that's inspiring and interesting.
Yeah. And isn't it, I'm not going to get this right, but something like you have to introduce a food to a kid 50 times before they actually eat it or enjoy it like that.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So just keep at it, right? I mean, it's not a short game. It's a marathon.
And I guess after nearly a decade of parenting, I can say that that has been true for us, where things that my eldest daughter, Juniper, did not want to eat, a year later, she changes her mind.
She came around to it.
Yeah. So just try not to put too much pressure on it. Expose them to things, and then they can kind of like opt in if they want when it's on the dinner table.
Right. My 7-year-old Lewis is coming around. I've started to offer, like, this is what I'm making for dinner. Me and Dad are going to eat it combined, like all together with the sauce on top. And Nathan's going to have his all in different pieces. How would you like to do it? And he's starting sometimes to choose that he'd like it mixed together. So I don't know.
That's a win.
And he still has some control over it.
We'll be back next time with more thoughts on home cooking.
In our next episode, we'll be cooking from the Indian Instant Pot Cookbook by Urvashi Pitri. We want you to cook along with us and share some of your favorite recipes from the book, which is a favorite for both Renee and I. Tag us on Instagram and use the hashtag CookbookClubShow. We can't wait to see what you're cooking.
Please reach out if you have a show idea. We would love to hear from you.
Send us a voice memo or comment at cookbookclubshow@gmail.com. You can find us online at cookbookclub.show.
Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss the next one. And leaving us a review will help other home cooks find us too.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.